now that I'm spending so much more time at home, I'm seeing things in my wife that I really don't like. I try to hold back from saying anything, but sometimes I blurt it out and then I feel bad. So I'm not sure what he's seeing. So I've added a few elements to this. Is he seeing something on the personality or how she's raising the kids or halacha and hashkafa? And if you could address all three of those in one or as three separate things, so.
Okay, so first of all, let me just say that there's no real problem here in that question. I mean, that question doesn't refer to any real problems, meaning things that need to be solved, other than the thing that he himself admits is a problem, which is blurting out criticism, which he feels bad about immediately after, which means that he knows that it's a problem. So the solution to that is stop doing that. Stop blurting it out. It's always the response is, well, I couldn't help myself. Well, if you get an a fender bender and you're driving and some crazy guy gets out of the car road raging and some guy twice your size who's foaming at the mouth, so then you're not blurting out insults or criticism. So all of a sudden now you can help yourself, right? What I'm saying is, I can't help myself. I could, yeah, you can help yourself. Just, think to yourself, I don't want to say anything critical because there's no point. It's just hurtful. And if something actually does have to be addressed, it should be done in a respectful conversation. So, yeah, but the person who wrote that question has enough self-awareness that I'm not really too concerned because obviously the fact that they asked the question in the way that they did means that they know it's a problem. So, great, I'll give you the little bit of encouragement that you need. You don't need that much encouragement because you're 99% of the way there. Just, yeah, stop making those comments. Now, regarding the issue of noticing things that he doesn't like, that's not a problem. First of all, nothing has changed. Whatever you're noticing now has been going on for a long time. You just haven't noticed it. So really, the actual fact of the matter, reality has not changed at all. So really, the only thing that's changed is you become aware of it, which means that you're annoyed by it. In other words, if there would be no corona, you could have gone the rest of your life without noticing these things, and they would have gone unaddressed. So, in theory, you could have gone the rest of your life not dealing with these things. So now the only thing is you know about these things, and they annoy you. Okay. Now, let me redact my words. They annoy you is maybe too trivial a word for some of the scenarios that you put forth. Okay, if it's personality issues, then I'm okay with using the word they annoy you. Meaning, if somebody's personality gets on your nerves, deal with it. Especially, you've invested in being married to this person, building a life, building a home. Deal with it. But you posed a few different alternative scenarios, what the troubling issues could be. So I think the first one you said was personality. I think the last one you said was hashgacha. I don't even remember. Could you repeat the different possible issues?
So I've said personality, the chinuch,
So I
the
said
way
just
the
deal with
children,
that. Oh, chinuch, okay.
and the halacha hashgacha.
Okay, fine. Well, chinuch and halacha hashgacha are almost the same, except I guess you're separating them because I guess if you're saying hashkafa is distinct from chinuch, is the stuff that only affects yourself, not, how
Well, I
you
just want to just break chinuch, not
actually.
only the Yiddishkeit chinuch, but like parenting styles and things like that. Being too lax or too strict or.
Right. So that's those things. Let's actually take both of those together. the chinuch stuff and the hashkafa stuff, basically Yiddishkeit, the values, let's call it values, values, standards. Those are issues that come up all the time in a marriage. And, okay, so you were lucky or unlucky, however you want to put it, that until now you didn't realize this was going on. But like I said before, none of this is new. None of this started while you were being home so often. You just took notice of it now. Okay, fine. So this is what co-parents communicate about. This is precisely what we communicate about. We talk about matters of standards and values, and that's just something you're going to have to talk to her about. If it's something that bothers you on a personal level, like I was saying before, you know, if it's a personality thing or just something that's really, I don't know, she serves challah with raisins in it, you know, whatever. Just get over it. Get over it, okay? But I don't know, maybe to some people challah with raisins and it could be a hashkafa issue, so I don't know. But if it's something that bothers you personally, yeah, just really let it go. If it's something you're concerned is an issue of values in the home or standards in the home, then you're going to have to discuss that with your wife. And I will give you advice that is not specific to husbands, although much of the advice tonight is gender specific, which is why thank you, by the way, for telling women they should not be on this call, because it's actually not going to help them. It's not productive for them to be on this call. Even if they hear anything I say to husbands that is mechay of husbands, meaning it puts the onus of responsibility on a husband, and a woman hears that, you know, even if she thinks that she's not keeping score, subconsciously, yes, it does do damage. So if you're a woman and you're listening right now, it's not going to help you, Shalom Bias, to listen to this. It's just going to make you distracted by what you think your husband needs to be doing. What? And now all of a sudden you're seeing like half the calls just hung up? What?
Just one.
100 calls just ended. Okay, fine. But yeah, seriously, it's not helpful for us to be able to keep the other person's scorecard. You have to keep your own scorecard. Not only is it the menschlich thing to do, you know, keep your side of the street clean, but it's for the sake of your own sanity. You're only going to make yourself miserable and crazy looking into what the other person has to do. Okay. Anyways, that was an aside. This advice is not gender specific. I would say this to women just as much as I would say to men. And that is, you know, the whole parsha in Torah about the Ben Seder Meira. And, you know, we think of it as a story about a rebellious kid, but it's actually not. It's a story about failed parents. The story starts off and says, in other words, when a man, a husband, a father, will have a stubborn, rebellious son. So the stories are not even about the son. It's about the parent of the son. And then it tells how the parent actually causes him to become stubborn and rebellious. I'm not going to go through a whole thing. Actually, in God of Our Understanding, which is a book that I wrote many years ago, I did a whole chapter just on that section. But I'll just bring out one point there. So it says that he has a ben seder meira, a stubborn and rebellious son. And then a shemei el kol aviv el kol imai. He does not listen to the voice of his father or to his mother, or the voice of his mother. So the question is, why doesn't it say kol aviv imai? One time kol, the voice of his father and mother. It says kol aviv kol imai, the voice of his father, the voice of his mother. And then later on, in fact, when the parents bring the son to the Zikne Ha'ir, they say, Beneinu Zeh, this son of ours, and then Shemei L'Kaleinu, he doesn't listen to our voice. Kaleinu, our voice, collective, plural. Which is not what we heard at the beginning of the story, when Peter, in fact, is made, testifies to the fact that there is no koleno, there's no collective voice of the parents. There's a koel aviv and there's a koel imai. So what does that mean? That means that one of the worst things that you can do to your child, and actually almost begs them to rebel is to have double standards, to have two different standards, a voice of the father and a voice of the mother. And that is so important that I would say that it is better to have a lower standard of Yiddishkeit and Siddishkeit that you can both agree on than to have two different parents enforcing two different levels. And this is not just for Shalom Bayis' sake. This is for Chinuch's sake. This being on the same page with each other is not just so that you're at peace with one another, but so that your child will have clarity and stability. And not when they don't have this, then, like I said, it's almost begging a child to rebel when that happens. So to sum it up, I would say if you're noticing things that are of a chinuch nature or of a hashkafa nature, please have a respectful discussion about it in a non-accusatory fashion. You know, ask questions, not interrogation, but questions, like, you know, be open to hear something. Because, again, you know, going back to what we started off with, you're a guest in the home. I don't want to be misunderstood when I say that. You know, I'm not literally saying you're a guest, like, you know, you should be paying rent or something. It's a shame I'm mushel. I don't literally mean a guest, but, I mean, if it helps to make the point, then that's why I'm using the term a guest. Remember, husbands, men, there may be things your wife is doing chinuch-wise with the kids that you think is lax or it's an oversight or it's lazy or it's wrong, and you might not realize that it's actually the best possible way to deal with things. And it might just be because you're just not privy to enough information to realize what she's tried before. You might not actually understand what the needs of this child might be. Let me set it forth as a logical argument. This questioner said he didn't notice a whole bunch of stuff until he was home all the time. Okay. So just like there was a whole bunch of stuff that you didn't even realize was going on in your home until you were at home all the time, it's possible that if you would stick around even longer, you would notice a whole bunch of stuff. It would make you come to the same conclusions that your wife already has come to. Let me just say that again, because I just want to make sure that logic is clear. You might see something that looks funny, ridiculous, it might even look negligent. Why is she doing it this way? This is not the way to do it. And maybe theoretically on paper, you're right, that's not the way to do it. But in reality, it is the best way to do it. And the difference between you and her might just be that she has more information about facts on the ground. And the proof that that's possibly very well the situation is you just noticed stuff that's going on in the house yesterday. So clearly you have less information about the facts on the ground than she does. So when you have that conversation, be open to learning something. When you ask a question, you don't interrogate. You know, when the cops say, you've been drinking tonight? Where you been? Yeah. You know, that's not that's not an innocent question. It's an accusatory question, right? You have anything in the car that I wouldn't want to find? Yeah. Like, that's called condescending, and it makes people unappreciative of your question. It makes them not want to be cooperative. So don't do that. Don't be like a cop asking questions. Be inquisitive. Inquisitive means that I'm interested to possibly learn something. And you say, no, there's no way I could learn something. Yes, you could. And what's the proof? You just noticed a whole bunch of stuff that's been going on in your house for who knows how long. You didn't know about it until now. So there's obviously a lot of room for you to learn some stuff about your own kids and about your own family. And so be open to that, and maybe you'll find out that your wife has actually arrived already at the best possible solution. Now, maybe there's something she overlooked. And great, so you could offer it to her as a suggestion And that's great. And maybe you're having been home and noticing things and being then prompted to bring these things up and have a conversation with her. Maybe that will actually even end up improving the way things are done. But don't assume that she's wrong. Assume that she's right and that you just want to understand why she does things differently than you do. Okay, is enough about that?
I think so. Okay, another question. Thank you for that. My wife and I have nothing to talk about to each other.
You see why I wouldn't want a woman to hear that?
Yeah.
Because then she's going to walk around thinking everything she does is 100% right, and her husband just doesn't realize it. And that's not for her to know that. It's not for her to know. It's for the husband to swallow that bitter pill. And it's not for her to know that.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
This question.